Okay, I want to welcome everybody tonight to tonight's planning and zoning meeting. The clock is 7 o'clock. Can we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please? I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the clerk call the roll, please?
Gino Di Giovanni.
Here.
Paul Denise.
Here.
Aniello Di Malerba III.
Here.
Albert Mizowitz.
Here.
Dave Kopchansky.
Here.
Raymond Sadlick.
Here.
Richard Bartholomew. Joseph Soika.
Here.
Okay, the record should reflect you have seven regular members, one alternate, and the council tonight is Brian LeClaire from Birch and Moses.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to have a motion to sit Oney Malerba to the full board since he is going to be taking, or he is taking, Bill Harris's position. As we know, Bill resigned last month, and Oney will be now a full-time full member. Can I have a motion to sit Oney for Bill's spot?
So moved.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on to number four. Additions, deletions, corrections to the agenda. Does anybody have any?
Mr. Chair, I do have one.
Go ahead, Ryan.
It looks like under item 8B and 8C, those two applications under receipt are listed as site plan application.
Mm-hmm.
Those should be amended to reflect that they are both special exception applications.
Okay. So can I have a sec?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ryan.
No,
can I have a second, please?
Second.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can I have that motion, please? Albert, second. Joe, all in favor? Anyone opposed? Okay, Joe will take down the second. Raymond, second. To add, to change site plan application to special exemption.
For 8B and C.
Is that okay with what it was posted?
Yes.
Yeah, it's okay. It's just under a receipt, so it's going to be scheduled for a public hearing anyway, just to correct the agenda.
All in favor? Anyone opposed? Okay. Move on to number five, communications. I have none. Ryan, is there any communications?
Just the document that Vince had prepared, a one pager summarizing some of the legislative changes that are under consideration right now under CGS 5000-5002, I believe.
Yeah.
These are
House Bill 5002.
Yeah. These are pending changes that have not been signed off on yet, but they are under consideration and they will involve potentially substantial changes to zoning.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, to clarify, they have been adopted. They've been adopted by the General Assembly and they are, that particular bill is awaiting signature from Governor Lamont. And that's an open question as of today.
Right. It's sitting on his desk waiting for the pen, or maybe not. Does anybody have any?
Yeah. The discussion seems to be around the piece where there is an assignment of affordability or the number of units that each community must have. He hasn't just, that's the sticking point. We'll see what happens.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I have some comments. For the last couple of months, Mr. Chairman, I've been advising the commission that these type of changes were going to come into Connecticut zoning law.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like that they have. And this is the beginning of the end of home rule.
Correct.
for Connecticut municipalities with respect to zoning. It takes a lot of power out of the hands of a commission such as ours. So I don't know if we would like to urge our local legislators to, at this late hour, to somehow or another initiate some kind of an amendment that's going to give the municipalities back some local control of their zoning. Otherwise, you know, a commission such as ours, when it comes to residential properties, considerations, we're just going to go through the motions. Our hands are going to be tied in a lot of cases by this law.
No, I agree, David. You know, I was following this coming out of the House into the Senate, and then it got passed. And now, like Vince said, it's on the governor's desk. So, I mean, it was heavily contentious. There was a lot of testimony up there. And like you said, we kind of called it because we saw it coming. This started either, I think it was last cycle, but with the accessory dwellings, a lot of people opted out of it. The 830Gs with the 10% and the housing plans, a lot of people opted out of it. And it's just my opinion that the state saw the actions of, you know, each individual municipality opting out of a lot of things when they didn't think we were paying attention. And this is the, the remedy of that to get everyone to do it with a super majority up there. Yeah. So I will get in touch with our all three of our state reps and our state senator, and I'll send them another letter, telling them how we're displeased with it, and hopefully. From my understanding that the governor may or may not sign it, it's not a done deal where it's sitting there in the pile and it's getting signed. I think there's a lot of political factors that are going to influence if he signs it or not. But I'll send another letter over them to them stating our wishes.
Thank you.
Does anybody else have any discussion on that?
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Raymond.
I think it's probably in order to revert back to additions to the agenda.
Okay.
And empower you, bring it up under new business, add it to new business to draft a letter signed by the city fathers or the board aldermen, whoever, yourself, and get a letter off.
So you want to add that to the agenda?
I think that would be proper.
Okay. So we'll go back to number four. We had a second on the floor. Who was it?
What? It could be a new motion. He wants to make a new motion.
You want to make a new motion?
You can make a new motion to amend the
agenda. Yeah, just to amend that agenda and add that.
Okay.
You're adding just having a discussion regarding the chair sending a letter to the legislature.
Right, to empower the chairman and
current legislation. Then we can take that up.
Discuss it from
okay. There. So we'll put that in the form of a motion. Raymond, do we have a second?
A second.
David? Okay, all in favor? Anyone opposed to that?
Okay. That would be 10B.
Yeah, yes, 10B. Okay. All right, does anyone have anything else under number five, communications to... If not, we'll move on to the public portion. Anybody else have anything? Okay. We'll move on to number six, public portion. Anyone here from the public wish to speak? If there's anyone online that wishes to speak in the public portion, you could just unmute your microphone, state your name and your address for the record. Anyone from the public wish to speak? Third time, if there's anyone on Zoom that wishes to speak, you could just unmute your mic, state your name and address for the record. Is there anyone else from the public wish to speak? If not, the public portion is now closed. We'll move to number 7, approval of minutes, 4/15/25, 5/20/25. Which we don't have, so I'll need a motion to table.
Tabling both or one?
Both of them. Yep. 4/15 and 5/20. Motion to table?
Motion to table.
Second, Albert. All in favor? Anyone opposed? Rick. And Albert. Second. And I looked in my notes going back. I believe I'm just going to check with Lisa this week for next month, but I believe 318 needed to be added as well. But before I did that, I just want to double check to make sure that we're accurate. Okay. Number 8, receipt of applications. 8A, City of Derby Planning and Zoning Commission, 1 Elizabeth Street, zone text change application. To add definitions to section 195-7, add special exemptions use for number 1, collection, sorting, temporary storage of used reclaimable metal, and 2, redemption center to section 195-17D. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Paul, second.
I'll second that.
Raymond, all in favor? Anyone opposed? Okay.
And this application is subject to a public hearing under 9A.
Yep. Okay, perfect. So 8B. Blizzard Mechanical LLC, 155 New Haven Avenue. Special exemption application for office interior storage and work area for HVAC business. Do I have a motion, please? I'll make the motion. Do we have a second, please? Okay, Rich. All in favor? Anyone opposed?
Mr. Chair, I would recommend that the commission consider scheduling this for a public hearing for the July meeting.
Okay, I have no issue with that. Do I need to do that right? We can set the date right now, right?
Yes.
Okay. So let's see. The public hearing. I have our next meeting as July 15th. Okay, we'll set the public hearing date for July 15th at our next regular scheduled meeting. 8C, Buck Electric LLC, 155 New Haven Avenue, special exemption application for an office interior storage work area for an electrical contracting business. Do I have a motion?
Yes.
Okay, Rich, second?
No. Second that, Mr.
Raymond? And we'll set the public hearing for next month as well, July 15th, at our next regular scheduled meeting. All in favor? Anyone opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Number 9, public hearing. 9A, City of Derby Planning and Zoning Commission, 1 Elizabeth Street, zone text change application to add definitions to section 195-7, add special exemptions use, number 1, collection, sorting, temporary storage of used reclaimable metal, and number 2, redemption center to sections 195-17D. Can I have a motion to open up the public hearing?
So moved.
Raymond, do we have a second?
Yeah, I'll second it. Sorry.
Okay, Oni. All in favor? Anyone opposed? Okay, the Public hearing is now open. If there's anyone online on Zoom that wishes to speak on 9A, just unmute your mic and state your name and address for the record, please. Is there anyone in the audience here that wishes to speak? Just your name and address for the record, please. Yep, it'll light up green. And now you're on, Karen.
Now I'm on. Karen Chemises, 25 John Street. And off. I'm like Roger. I know that this is a text change, not an application for a specific use, but I also have been following the reasoning for, I think when you push, it goes out. I'm not touching. The reasoning for this is because of situations downtown. I'm not touching it. Okay. So anyways, with that in mind, I did ask when we were talking about that other situation that's not a text change, I did ask whether we needed to have a text change. So I'm glad to see that we are updating everything so everything is in order. My one question is that here we are changing the zoning because of a specific need. And I thought that as we write zoning, we look at it as a whole for the whole city. And I could understand because of that past history why we're doing it as a whole city thing. But this leans towards a spot zoning, which is upsetting to me. I look at zoning that we're supposed to decide on something that is going to benefit the city. Does a junkyard or metal recycling center benefit the city? We're not getting any greater amount on any income coming in, raising our base or anything like that, because there's not that much material. You're going to have a building that we could probably have that assessed, but the building that's existing there is only assessed for $230,000. So a metal recycling center is not going to increase our grand list substantially. We also look to try to bring in employment. That's another benefit, and that's why we will change any zoning rules, because we're creating jobs. Well, the last junkyard I went to, the only guy was the grumpy guy that was behind the register with the big wad of singles in his pocket. And that is, you know, there's not that many employees, especially it's something that's going to be as small as what's being defined under the text. The other part is we try to bring in something that's very unique to the city, something that isn't around in other places. But I go over to Sims every 3 months or so and bring my lead acid batteries and get 15 cents a pound now on them. And there's Sims in North Haven, there's Sims in New Haven, there's Alderman Dow in North Haven or New Haven. And those are all bigger places. So it's not that we're bringing something unique to the city either. It's we're just accommodating a need for the better good. I know that, you know, everything that I'm saying here will not fall on deaf ears, but it's not going to result in any dramatic change. But I get disturbed when we don't have anybody coming speaking to things in the city anymore. There's not an interest in the city. And I was almost going to sit home and say, what can I do to change? You know, there's no point in even coming down. And I says, no, I have to come down and raise these questions, raise these points, so that hopefully as you put on your planning hats for other things in the city, we've got a big plan that's going to be coming forth now once this text change happens, that hopefully we will assess it so that it is increasing our grant list. It's increasing the number of people living in the city and really giving a benefit to the city rather than having to cow down to a need that we've got to do it grudgingly, but we're doing it anyways. And that's how I see this text change as being. I think, you know, we're caught between a rock and a hard place. Looking at the text change itself, I don't understand why we're going to have so much outside. 150% of the building, that's not reasonable. There's no need to give him that much. We don't need that much junk. And we also need to have some definitions that maybe will be part of the discussion on the special exceptions, but we can't have them creating another new super site. We can't have them polluting everything. So anything that can be defined within this language for the text has to take all of those things into account. And I hope that as you study this further and make sure that everything is, all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, that we make sure that we are, in the long run, doing something positive for the city. And with that, I wish you all luck and continue on. Thank you.
I thank you for coming, Karen, because more people should get involved in the city. This is how things, as we were talking about the bills that are in Hartford, you know, this is how things happen. And by the time people realize it, it's too late, or, you know, not just in the negative, but also in the positive too. So I thank you for coming. Is there anyone else from the public that wishes to speak on Zoom about 9A? If you wish, just unmute your mic and state your name and address for the record. If not, there's nobody else here in the audience, right? Okay.
I would note, Mr. Chair, that we did receive referrals from SCROG and from NVCOG, so the application is complete in that sense. So if there's any questions of the commission, we have Vince on the line who helped craft this in conjunction with Brian Lima, of course, who's ill. So if you have any questions for Vince, he's here at your disposal.
Go ahead, David.
I have a question, Vince. I'm reading through the South Central Regional Council's report, and it seems that they're concerned about the negative impact on the ecosystem along the Long Island Sound if a metal or battery materials leach into the river. What precautions does our new definition have within it to assure that that type of negative impact won't occur?
I think, David, that's a good question. And as I am looking at your other standards in 194 special exception uses, you have that authority to evaluate those issues under 195.48. I'm going through them right now. And I think you have the discretion to evaluate those impacts on the specific, at the time of specific statement of use and the site plan and so on, and attach appropriate conditions regarding impacts to the floodplain and impacts to the watercourse. Interestingly, and you talked about recent legislation, and there is another bill that was just signed off regarding coastal zone in this part of the, you are in the coastal zone, I believe, on this site, if I recall correctly. And that authorizes commissions to evaluate environmental impacts, such as waste into the coastal zone. So I think you've got that already in the regulations and don't necessarily need it in the definition of the junkyard or in the rest of the standards.
What we don't have, Vince, is a standard to evaluate.
That's good. Because then you are free under the process to not have a standard, but you can make the judgment based on the evidence before you that may come before you as to what that impact may be, and legitimately ask that question, and you're free under the special exception to do that. I know Brian LeClaire is on this call too, and he can offer his legal opinion, but I think he would probably concur with me on that point. Brian?
Attorney Green, so I'm he's not allowed, not allowed to talk. It's not Green. Yeah, no, I agree on that point. The special exception gives you the flexibility and the power you need, I believe, to do exactly that when an application comes, look closely at it and evaluate it for these environmental concerns you have.
Yeah. Of course, the standard that we develop would have to be considered reasonable, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And that's what I would expect you to be, is reasonable. So yes, and when the site plan comes, when and if the site plan comes before you, in the special exception process, including the statement of use and how this place is going to be operated, and if there are environmental controls that you as a commission believe are critical to the protection of air, noise, water, and so on, you're free to do that.
Okay. My second question, Mr. Chairman, has to do with Naugatuck Valley Council of Governments staff recommendation.
All right. So
they noted that the definition for junkyard, motor vehicle junkyard, should be separated or clarified. Right. Now, in my reading, Vince, of the definition for junkyard, there's an unusual phrase in there where it says storage of, you know, scrap material the size of two automobiles. What are these, Volkswagens, or are they Oldsmobile 98s?
That's the state statute. What's interesting is we did make the change. We had a very good discussion with the person at NVCOG, who caught a nuance that we hadn't seen. We had called it motor vehicle junkyard. The term of art in the statutes and the motor vehicle section, I think it's 7148 in there someplace, is now called motor vehicle recyclers business. So we have changed that in the red text that I believe that Ryan sent out earlier today, that said we call junkyard, which is defined in one section of the statutes, in the DEP section of junkyard and waste disposal, they have one definition. In the motor vehicle, I have a separate definition, and we've merged them together. So I believe that we are defining it correctly. The piece about two size of two automobiles, I thought Volkswagen versus Volkswagen microbus. You know, it's sort of odd, but that's the way it's defined. So again, I think when it comes to enforcement, is it egregious? You know, I think if you did a Volkswagen, that might be two Volkswagens, might be small, two Toyota Siennas might be too big, but that's a question for the zoning enforcement officer to enforce.
Does that definition conflict with our blight ordinance?
I don't think so. When we added the piece in there, I got to find it in my writing here. Where is it? That's why I added in residence districts that section, which you don't have in your regulation now. The term also includes outside storage of unregistered vehicles for more than 30 days in a residential zone. You don't make that distinction. And so I thought that was helpful. By the way, that's not original. I cribbed that from one of your neighboring towns, which I thought was a good idea. So I think it doesn't conflict with your blight. Again, Brian, I don't know if you want to add to that, but I think you've looked at this as well.
That's correct.
David, my comment would be two automobiles, right? We're worried about size or the definition of a parking spot is 9 by 18, right?
Yes.
So I think that would be a, you
know, a good tool for measurement.
A good tool.
Sure.
At the time, if it should come arise. Does anybody else have any other questions?
I just have a question on, it says appropriately screened from public view. Who determines what appropriate is?
You. You do.
The commission.
Commission.
So again, the applicant can come back and say that it doesn't meet the industrial standards or something.
Now, you as a commission under the and the approval of the special exception, make the determination if it's appropriate. If you require, because you're not sure, you can always ask the applicant to give you visual simulations. If you remember, we did that a number of years ago at Home Depot in downtown. We wanted visual simulations as to what that landscape would look like at some point in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you are free to ask those questions.
Keep in mind, there's also other portions of the regulations that provide guidance as to appropriate screening. It's mostly directed to industrial commercial properties adjacent to residential uses, which doesn't exist in the I-1 zone areas that could be eligible mm-hmm. under this regulation. But nonetheless, there are provisions elsewhere in the regulations too that govern nature of landscape screening and things like that.
Raymond, any questions? No other questions for the commission? If there's no other questions, I'd like to get a motion to close the public hearing. Rich, motion, second?
I'll second it.
Raymond, all in favor? Anyone opposed? Okay. Close the public portion. And we'll move on to 10A, City of Derby Planning and Zoning Commission, 1 Elizabeth Street, Zone Text Change Application, to add definitions to Section 195-7, add special exemption uses for 1, collection sorting, temporary storage of used reclaimable metal, and 2, redemption center to Sections 195-17D, possible discussion and action. Okay. Can I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I did draft the motion for your consideration.
Ryan, can you please read it?
It's regarding a zone text change, applicant, the City of Derby Planning and Zoning Commission. So to add, modify, delete the following definitions in Section 195-7, junk, junkyard, and redemption center. Add the following special exception uses to Section 195-17. Ultimately number 12, but collection, sorting, temporary storage, and shipping of used reclaimable metal. And number, what ultimately be 13, is redemption center. Following review of the documentation submitted in support of this application, the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission finds the zone text change to the above referenced sections is consistent with the goals of Section 195-2 and the Plan of Conservation and Development. Therefore, the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission hereby approves the zone text change application as proposed. The effective date of the text amendment shall be June 27, 2025. This approval shall be based upon the following documents submitted in support of this application. 1, application prepared by SLR, dated June 4, 2025. 2, referrals to NVCOG and SCROG from SLR, dated June 6, 2025. 3, letter from NVCOG, dated June 16, 2025. 4, letter from SCROG, dated June 17, 2025. And 5, verbal testimony from the Planning and Zoning Commission members of the public and city staff at the June 17, 2025 public hearing.
Thank you, Brian. Would somebody like to motion that, please?
Mr. Chair, I just want to, some of the things that had come up previously that Albert had brought up and David.
Raymond? We need to have, yeah, and then we could discuss it.
Okay, so moved.
Okay, second.
Second.
Albert. Okay.
Thank you, Mark.
Discussion? Go ahead, Raymond.
So I just wanted to say, and I think Vince had brought it up under in our zoning, but to address their concerns under special exception procedures, 195-46L about floodplains. We have a lot of jurisdiction there. And also, I forget what the other section was in here, but as far as the screening that Albert had brought up, I mean, when the site plan comes through, we could address all of that easily. This is just to allow the use to go there, to add it to our book, actually, not even to allow the use. They still got to go through the special exception procedure.
Yep.
So,
Mr. Chairman, if I can add to that point.
Go ahead, Vince.
If on the assumption that this property comes before you under the contemplated terms, one of the additional features or pieces of the application in the floodplain will need to meet the standards, not only of your commission, but in order to obtain a flood management certificate from DEP, because there is state and or federal money involved, maybe state or federal money involved, and that is a certification that is a somewhat higher standard that higher than what you normally see in a floodplain application. So to Commissioner Sadlick's point, you will be seeing a higher quality, in quotes, of an application regarding the floodplain.
Any other discussion? Is you all right with that, Ray?
Yeah.
Okay. If there's no other discussion, we have
just have one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Quick thing. Just the motion that was made, it refers to the South Central Regional Council of Governments letter dated 6/17. It's 6/16. I don't know if that makes a difference, but
yeah, thank you. We can make that correction.
Yeah.
I received it today.
Yeah, so no, I didn't check the date. I wanted it to match what the letter said. Otherwise, it's not the same letter.
Ryan, you'll make that correction when you hand it in for the record.
Yeah, I guess the motion to made and seconded. So whoever made the motion and seconded should
Albert
accepted amendment.
Yep. You good with that, Albert?
Fine.
Okay. All right. No other discussion? All in favor?
All right.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Motion carries. We'll move on to 10B. Now, that's the letter. Mark, could you read back what we changed it to? That was about the chairman sending a letter to... So that's 10B. That's what we changed it to. So can I have a motion to well, Raymond, that was
so
that was yours
to authorize the chairman to get a letter off the, I guess, the governor's office and our legislators for the housing thing that,
yeah, both.
And it would probably be nice to get the mayor's office and the board of aldermen also to, I think it'd swing a little more weight.
Yeah.
All right. So what we'll do is we'll send a letter to our house.
Our three representatives.
Yep. Our house, 17th State District. And then we'll get our mayor.
Mr. Chair, just for a point of, it's already been passed, so you probably want to focus quickly to the governor's office.
It may be amended, Mark.
Well, I understand. I know what you're saying.
It's been passed.
Yep.
So
yeah. I know what you're saying.
The action really is in his plate. So correct. That would be the others. Yes.
I understand what you mean. I got you.
Because you don't want to lose time.
Correct.
It's really the issue.
Yeah. Well, I understand what you mean. We'll send it up there and we'll CC everybody. I got you.
The reps should know, though.
Yeah. Okay. So did I have a second on that?
I'll second that.
Okay, David.
You just I would state what your intent is.
Well, the motion, Raymond, correct me if I'm wrong, is to authorize the chairman to send a letter in regards to House Bill 5002, I believe it is, to the governor's office.
Urging him not to sign it until the state of Connecticut.
Correct. And that was in the form of Raymond's motion, and then we had a second by David.
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Motion carries. We'll get that letter off, and we'll contact the other parties to be as well in our route to the governor's office. All right. So 11, informal discussion. So 11A is Planning and Zoning Subcommittee report on application procedures. Did Bill leave?
Bill left because Bill's not a member of our commission anymore. But he is our advisor on the subcommittee.
I didn't know if he was going to give the report.
So
you're going to give it, David?
I think I was there. Tonight, I believe we finalized the draft of the pre-application for site plan review. And this was actually initiated by Kevin White, our zoning enforcement officer, as a tool to assist him with potential applicants for any kind of work that they want to do that would involve submitting a site plan to the commission. And I think we've got the language simple enough, straightforward enough, so that the average person who wants to do work on their property could answer the six questions that are on this pre-application and also provide the documentation that goes along with it, which is actually pretty much readily available on the City of Derby's website. This will avoid a lot of back and forth and tying up the hands of a zoning enforcement officer and frustrating, you know, someone that wants to do work on their property because they don't know how to get to first base. And, you know, hopefully it's going to result in them being able to make a proper site plan application to the Planning and Zoning Commission or, you know, giving them some early warning that what they want to do is really not possible under our zoning regulations and, you know, just go in a different direction before you waste a lot of time and money on something that is not doable. And that, again, I think is a very beneficial thing for our residents, because I know when I was doing it, you know, people were asking, you know, I want to build a three-family house in an R2 zone, you know, why can't I do it? You know, and, you know, the answer from someone with a zoning background is very easy, but spending time explaining it to someone who isn't knowledgeable zoning at all, you know, could be frustrating and time consuming. And we all know that our zoning enforcement officers' time is at a premium. So I think that this is going to go a long way in smoothing things along. What would you like to add, Paul?
Well, I think you covered it. It's going to assist people to submit an application and provide a direction as on how to go with it.
How about you, Albert?
I think that was fine.
You did the lion's share of that work.
Not on this one.
Yeah. No. So I think, last Tuesday, I was in the building office, and I was kind of taken back from what I saw there. I was there doing some research with Kevin on another project that the city is working on with the Sterling Opera House. We had to find some plans and some surveys from back in the day, and that was the day Kevin you know, works in the office there, and the amount of people that came there, and I was there pretty much from 8:30 to a little after one, I think it was, but the amount of people that came in and out, in and out, in and out, because that's the only day he's there.
Yeah.
This is going to help tremendously, number one. But number two, once the dust settles a little bit, I'm hoping that we can talk to the mayor in the mayor's office and see what their plans are going to be moving forward. Because a couple hours a week, it's like 2 hours in the office, and then he's there 4 hours a week. It's like 2 hours in the office and then 2 hours out on the road. And from what I seen, it just wasn't a fluke. And also, too, with Lisa being there, that's a lot to put on her. She's a secretary. I'm not knocking Lisa whatsoever. She does a great job, but she's not a zoning enforcement officer. She's not a building inspector. She's not a fire marshal. And she's running ragged over there. And I try to do my best to help her, but obviously I have a full-time job, too. So I think we need to come together. This will help. This is the first step to get everything lined up and in order. And then hopefully once we streamline this process on our end, then we can go and have a meeting with the mayor and see if we could tell him where we're at and see where he's at and then meet in the middle somewhere. But I think this is a big first step. That's why I'm glad that Bill's going to finish it out and see us through on that. And I think you guys are doing a great job. So that's just my two cents from seeing it.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I just want to add that Bill is fine-tuning this right now.
Yeah.
He's going to send it out to each member of the commission, and we'd like to have it on the agenda for adoption at the July meeting.
I would also recommend it be shared with Mr. Leclerc and Brian Lima's absence.
Yeah, yes.
Because there might be some
legal considerations. Mm-hmm. So once we get the quote-unquote draft back, we'll send it out to the parties to be, let legal look at it,
yes,
and Vince and the rest of the gang, yep. And then we'll get it on next month's schedule agenda for discussion and possible action, Dave?
For possible action, yeah.
Okay.
And also, I want to remind everybody that this form is, it's not formal. It's not something that we're adding
Correct.
To our zoning regulations per se. It again, it's a tool to assist a potential applicant and the zoning enforcement officer. If someone decides that they don't want to fill out that form, they're just going to go ahead and put an application in. They're free to do so.
True.
Okay.
Perfect. Does anybody else have any questions for Dave or anyone else on the subcommittee?
I just have a comment.
Go ahead, Albert.
The site plan application has been out there for a couple months now, and I did receive some comments from Ryan, and I incorporate them into it. If there were any other comments, I would appreciate it be given or emailed to me, because we like to bring that forward too.
So do you want to get that on the agenda for next month? We'll put them all together and we'll start the process. Albert or Paul? David?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we'll send the email out to make sure that everybody gets back their questions, concerns, or comments, and then we'll get it on the agenda for next month.
And the same thing, it should go before legal counsel.
Yep. Okay. Any other comments? Good.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Go ahead, Raymond.
I'm sure it is in there, but I'm not sure. That's why I'm asking. Is there a deadline date for submission before our meeting so we're not accepting things, and another deadline for when it's forwarded to us so we don't get it at 3:00 in the afternoon, day of our meeting?
So,
first time I saw tonight's everything other than the agenda was when I walked in this room. And we've talked about this before. There's got to be like a week before. If we don't get the paperwork by that point, or at least 4 days, I would think that it's see you next month.
Okay.
You just can't. And this was like a, you know, small meeting. We've had some with stacks of paper.
Sure.
That has to be in there. Is that in there? Does anybody Albert, Dave, Paul, is there anything in there that you'd
David, did you add anything into the application?
The pre-application?
Correct. That says...
We changed some things. No, because, again, the pre-application is really a tool to assist people. There's no deadline on submitting it because you don't even have to submit it to the zoning enforcement officer. It's really to benefit the potential applicant, and of course it helps the zoning enforcement officer also, but no, I'm reluctant to put any kind of a deadline to go over that with the
so what we could do is we could set a deadline. So if you say that, let's just say the 72 hours before the meeting, which is probably like the Friday before, or you could even go back farther since our meeting's on a Tuesday, we could just state to Lisa that if you, let's just say hypothetically, come Wednesday, end of business on Wednesday, anything after Wednesday is not going to make next Tuesday's meeting. And that would go on to next month. And she just, whatever she accepts, will just get moved.
And David, is there something in our zoning now as far as...
Maybe I can kind of answer that. There's a distinction between accepting an application and when the state statute starts. So if an application comes in before a regularly scheduled meeting
on Monday,
the state statute starts tonight because it's Tuesday.
The clock.
But we would have to receive it tonight.
But to me, the important issue is not formally accepting the application. The thing to me is getting the application here with enough time prior to a meeting so that we as a board, if we have any questions about it, we can research it, we can visit the site, and you can't do that with two or three days before a meeting.
Thank you.
So it's really up to us to set a deadline to say, listen, if your application comes in, we're not going to hear it. I think it's really up to us to make a determination to how can we juggle meeting the state statutes and giving us enough time to research an application or to visit the site of an application.
What it comes down to is receipt of application is a mandatory thing.
Right.
A lot of times we have a motion to receive the application. It's sort of a formality, but the reality is it's received.
Correct.
By law.
Right.
At this meeting, if it came in last night.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean you have to discuss it. That doesn't mean you have to take it up for, if it goes to a public hearing, let's say. That doesn't mean you have to schedule for a public hearing the following month. You have 65 days to open up a hearing. But if it's a permitted as of right use, and it comes in Monday evening, and you have a meeting on Tuesday, the clock starts on Tuesday, and you have 65 days to act on that application. And if you just don't want to have it on your agenda, then it gets approved automatically at day 65. So it's just one of those things that you can't wish it away.
Right.
But, you know, it doesn't mean you have to take it up, you know, 2 days later, to your point, right?
And remember, you always have the ability, you know, subject to the times provided by the statute, to table something, to continue something to a future date, and in fact, to ask an applicant for an extension of time in many cases. So don't rush yourselves. Clearly, if something down the agenda, someone comes in with a stack of materials, they've changed something, you don't have to be forced to decide that. That's not good practice. Right. And don't be shy to do that. You know, other commissions always do that. So you have time to review, think about,
go out to the site,
read everything. Just read the stuff ahead of time. Yeah.
And Mr. Chair, as clerk of the board, too, I think you need to formalize this, the timeline and the dates, because there's the statutory part of it is that it is what it is, right? So it could be accepted. But like I say, you have 65 days to address it. And there should be transparent so that everybody understands what it's going to be, so that if it comes in the night before, then it should be understood that it's not going to be acted on tonight, because it's the same abusers and gamers of the system is what really happens. And then we're not consistent. We treat some people one way and other people another way. So,
well, we don't have to be consistent. It states, the statute states that we have 65 days from the time the clock starts to make an action. There's nothing that says that if that came in yesterday, the clock starts tonight, that we have to see it. We don't have to see it. We don't have to act. We do have to act. So that's under our discretion. Am I right?
That's completely
right. But your discretion could be to set a policy that is fair and open to everybody else. So it doesn't come in Friday and then all of a sudden.
Well, we're that's taking the discretion away from the commission.
No, you would just be imposing some self-discipline on it if you set a
time. Well, if we set an action and a streamline that says if A happens, the result will be B, now we're locked into that. We don't have discretion. You're taking the discretion and the authority out of this commission.
No, the authority doesn't go away. The thing is that you can't have.
We be fair then. If we state that subject A happens, we have result B for that. Now you come in and I say, hey, black and white, subject A, result B. Well, chief of staff comes in and I say, oh, sorry, can't. I don't want to do this. But it's in black and white.
Or somebody's favorite lawyer. Or somebody who's plugged in versus
not
plugged in.
That's the reason why that we're appointed to the commission to do that. It's under our discretion. But we have a state statute, correct, counsel? That states we need to do what we need to do.
Right. And the thing is that the staff is put in a position where there's no continuity. The staff is trying
to. We don't have staff, first of all.
Well, you do have a certain amount of staff. Somebody was put in there. That's a different conversation about who was put in where. But the point of the matter is that if a week before the meeting, there's no applications, and then all of a sudden at the last minute, there are applications, and then the board doesn't even get it till today
And then the board says that we're not going to hear it. They could start the clock. We don't have to make a decision. We could put it on the back burner.
Well, I think that what I'm trying to get across.
I understand what you're trying to get across.
I think, Brian, what you mentioned there, we have the authority to just, okay, if it's one sheet of paper and somebody wants a
person, I don't know,
something simple. But if we write a
policy or we have a standard, I can't discriminate because you have one sheet of paper and Karen has five, because now we're locking ourselves in. And I don't think that's fair. Karen, you could have the floor since Ms.
You don't have it on the agenda. If you don't have the paperwork for the public to look at it.
If it's a regular meeting, you can amend the agenda, add items just as you did this evening regarding the letter to the guts. It's a special things you cannot add.
So I think what we're gonna do, to be honest with you, is I think we're gonna do our due diligence and look into the fine line of what is state statute. What is the role of the commission and what are the authorities that we do or do not have? And then I think amongst us, the commission, will come up with an agreement between all of us. And then I think we'll stick to it. And I think that there needs to be a give and take. And I think that's the role of the commission. Any other discussion? If not, we'll move on to 12, payment of bills. Can I get a motion to pay bills if they are correct?
So moved.
Raymond, second. Albert? Oh, I'm sorry. Rich? All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Motion adjourned.
Okay, number 13, all in favor? Oh, no, Raymond. And who had second? Albert, second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate all your help.